This podcast is brought to you by MyBookie. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back in the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just enter promo code MENACE to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code MENACE to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. It is Saturday, November 21st, 4 days till Santa Claus comes. Thank you for joining us on Menace to Sports. Apologize for the delay. We will get into kind of what's been going on in my world, which is really a fun situation. So I'm not going to go into too much detail about that, but we got a great episode for you today. A colleague of mine, I don't want to say colleague, I guess, someone that I worked with professionally and who I would have considered a friend back when I was a football coach, is coming on the show. One of the best in the business, Jeremy Birmingham, is going to come on the show and talk a little bit about the recruiting game, kind of signing day. Most of his knowledge, he has a wealth of knowledge about really all teams, what goes on with all teams. He is one of the few people that connects with kids on a level where they talk to them. It's not just a reporter getting quotes. They legitimately tell him things that other people don't learn. So he's going to give us some perspective from his point of view on the national landscape of recruiting and also some details on Ohio State's recruiting class, the king of the Big Ten right now. But we're excited to get to that, and let's get to the show.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
No man is more important than the team. No coach is more important than the team. Team, team, team.
What a hit, Denzel Ward. You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me.
Did you push yourself to be great today? Did you do it? If you didn't do it, you lost today.
Don't let that beast stand in the way. Go away!
Menace to... All right, well, I wanted to start off with that intro. I haven't used those intros in a while, and I'm going to create a new intro. First of the year, we're going to provide some new content for the show, provide some new intros, some new outros, some new sound effects. Got a soundboard we've been working on the last couple weeks. So anyways, excited to make this, improve it. Just keep improving this show. That is the moral of our motive right now. Quick update on me. Obviously, those of you who listen, I had a court date on Thursday. And if you listen to the show, I was very confident in the court date. We had an initial court date, or one court date, where it was 7-1. We couldn't get that last, vote. I don't know. What do you call it? The last person to agree that I was not guilty and did not commit a crime. And unfortunately, on Thursday, it went the total opposite direction. 8-0 against me. I was found guilty of violating a CPO. And I'm not going to talk about it too much, but I certainly am still in the process of figuring out what the next step is with that, because I don't believe I did anything illegal, obviously, or else I wouldn't have been talking about it publicly. I probably would have just apologized. But I'm reflecting right now on what went wrong, not only in the court case and the trial, but also just reevaluating my own perspective on what the events of the day were. I know there was nothing malicious. It was nothing bad. It was nothing that, to say it's not criminal, I guess it is. I got found guilty, but I'm going to talk about it at a later date when I can speak more freely on it, but I certainly wasn't going to shy away from the topic. But I guess I'm just... anxious to figure out what the next step is and right any wrongs and move forward, move on. That's what I've been trying to do for a year and a half. Just move on. Enough with all this stuff about the past. Let's just move on. because if you really want to talk about every minute detail, we can do that. And I don't think anyone wants that. I certainly probably would benefit from it the most because of narratives and things that are spun in the media. But either way, what I will do at some point, I don't know how much detail I'll go into the case and things like that. It's not really that relevant to the public. But what I do want to talk about is the process, just what it is, how it went, because it was completely foreign to me. And it was very, it was miserable. It was awful. And I want to talk about kind of the how things went, what occurs, what is allowed and what's not allowed, because that was the most shocking thing. Like, if you think you're going to get tried based on complete facts in a case, you're not. And it's not even an excuse why I didn't come out victorious, because both sides face it. It's like half of the truth is not allowed in court for what God knows what reason. It's bizarre. So I'm going to talk about that at a later date, probably in a month or two. Just the process in general, nothing specific. I don't think anything specific, maybe a couple specifics. But anyways, that's what's been going on with me. So really excited for this episode. I want to get to this conversation with Jeremy Birmingham coming up here in a minute. Next week, two episodes. One's going to detail the playoff matchup between Ohio State and Clemson out in Arizona. And then the second matchup, Oklahoma-LSU, big matchup. The four best quarterbacks in college football are going to battle it out for the national title. Also going to talk about some of the bowl games. I know there's some going on right now. There's really from now until beginning of January, there's going to be bowl games almost every day. I know Sunday there isn't one, but we're going to talk about just general things about the bowl games. And when we get into some of the bigger matchups, the Alabama-Michigan is the one I'm so excited for. We get into some of those. I'll definitely detail my thoughts on those games. But this is a National College Football Show, and some people don't really care about those meaningless, insignificant bowls, the ones where all the players sit out, no one really pays attention, no one cares. And if a good team loses to a team that, quote unquote, they should have beat, it's because they were uninspired. If Michigan beats Alabama, it won't be because the Big Ten is better than people in the South thought. It'll be because Alabama was uninspired. I mean, they are used to playing in the playoffs, and this was not a playoff game, so they were not inspired, and that is why they lost. So just be prepared for it. It's my favorite excuse-making time of year. But as I've said, this is when teams get evaluated. I don't care what anyone has to say about teams throughout the year. Not teams, conferences. How good is the SEC? How good is the Pac-12? How good is the Big Ten? We are about to find out, because they're going to play each other. So we're going to look at those matchups, kind of those possible outcomes next week and in the following week. And then really excited to get this wrap this season up and crown us a champion. So signing day has come and gone. Some great classes, some disappointing classes. We are going to get to Jeremy Birmingham right after we take a quick break from one of our sponsors, and we will be back in studio. Jeremy Birmingham coming fast. I have a question for you. Which of your online searches does the government have the right to know about? Whether it's maybe your late night theatrics or your antics, or maybe the fact that you have a Pinterest account. Does the government deserve to know about those searches? The answer, none of them. If you have ExpressVPN, they won't. Without ExpressVPN's protection, though, hackers, governments, ad companies, and ISPs all have full access to your data. I don't want them using my web history or video searches against me. That's why I use ExpressVPN every time I go online. ExpressVPN encrypts and reroutes your web traffic to any number of countries, keeping you safer and secure. Simply download the ExpressVPN app, click to connect, and boom, you're protected. With ExpressVPN, you can make it seem like you're browsing from a different country, so you can watch any Netflix library in the world you want. How cool is that? ExpressVPN is the fastest VPN I've tried. It costs less than $7 per month and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's time to stop governments and internet companies from keeping tabs on your data. Take back your online privacy like I did with ExpressVPN. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/menace. That's expressvpn.com/menace for 3 months free with a 1-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/menace to learn more. All right, we are back on Menace to Sports. Fortunate to have a special guest, a recruiting guest, not just a recruiting guest, but so I've said it several times on the show that I had a very select few people that I trusted that I think did an excellent job, and they knew more than I knew about prospects, about situations, and I think probably my biggest go-to guy, and we'll talk about how he is this, is Jeremy Birmingham from Letterman Row, who joins us now on the podcast. Thanks for joining us, Jeremy.
What's up? It's kind of weird to talk to you on the record.
Yeah. You know? We've literally probably had a million conversations, and all of them had to be off the record. It's the first time we've gone on the record, I think.
Yeah, it's a little different, but obviously when you're on this side of the coin now, things are a little different, and you have to go about things slightly different than before. But thank you for the opportunity, and you know, glad to get an opportunity to talk to you.
Absolutely. Well, I think the biggest thing that I want to talk about is obviously this recruiting class having wrapped up on Wednesday. And not to get in the specifics of Ohio State's class entirely, but what I think people really want to know, and what I'm curious on your perspective, because you know far more than I do on the inside, the insider accounts of these prospects and these stories, is how do you think this class shapes up in Ryan Day's, really his first full recruiting cycle?
Well, I mean, it's a class that's got a number of superstars in it. It's also a class that has a handful of raw guys that need a lot of development. And those guys, as you know, generally tell the tale of the class. Like, you know that there's that select group at the top, you know, the Paris Johnsons, the Julian Flemings, those types of dudes that, like, you know what you're going to get out of them. And in this day and age, like, five-star busts almost don't happen anymore because these kids are so well-developed and so well-coached and so many options and avenues for them to be learning the game of football before they ever step on campus. Plus then they all enroll early and they don't have that freshman funk that they go through, you know, at the start of the season, because that's already gone. So I think that, you know, what you're going to get out of those guys. But for Ohio State, this class was six offensive linemen. Four of them are guys that I would consider as developmental players. You know, Joshua Fryer from Beech Grove, Indiana, Trey LaRue from Norwalk, Ohio, Jacob James from Cincinnati, Ohio, and then Grant Toutant from Michigan. Those kids are going to really kind of make or break this class, because when Ryan Day took over in December of 2018, his charge really was, how do you refill the coffers on the offensive line? Because it was a really bad situation depth-wise, and now that group is all turned over. You're going to look and see some decisions coming up here for Josh Myers and Wyatt Davis and Thayer Munford. And if those guys all go pro, and it's certainly a possibility, maybe not a likelihood, but all of a sudden this offensive line group and last year's offensive line group become the tale of Ryan Day's, like, first couple of years at Ohio State.
Right. Well, I mean, I think and as I look at the class, and the only position I admittedly have even evaluated is one that I know well, the receiver position. And I don't know that I've ever seen a receiver haul like this. I mean, four receivers ranked in the top 100 on 247 Sports. And I mean, you're talking about polished products. These kids there's four legitimate big time players coming in. What are your thoughts on, obviously, yeah, the headliner, Julian Fleming, who he's the only one that I knew. He was so good that I actually started recruiting him. That's how good he was. At that age, he was on that level. But outside of him, some of these kids are just outrageous.
Well, there's four of the top 15 receivers in the country, and I think that number would even be more outrageous if Mookie Cooper, who I think you probably knew Mookie a little bit from the St. Louis area.
Yeah, I did.
If he had played his senior year, which he didn't get to because of transfer rules in Missouri, if he had played, he probably would have stayed in that top 10 range. And when the season started, he was number 11 in the receiver rankings. So he could have been looking at four top 11. Alabama did that in 2017, and you know that class with Jerry Jeudy and Devontae Smith and those guys. So when you're talking about next level ready dudes like Jackson Smith and Jigba, G. Scott, and Julian Fleming, and Mookie Cooper are all in that way. Those are physical receivers. These are not, like, as good as Chris Olave's been. When Chris got into campus, and when you and Ryan Day and Brian Hartline started recruiting him, he was a twig. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
He was unique. You saw the ball skills, you saw the ability, but you knew that there was going to be some physical development necessary. With this group of four, there is not any of that. These are, I mean, Fleming is 6'2", 210 pounds. Jackson Smith and Jigba is 6'1", 200 pounds. G. Scott is 6'3", 210 pounds. Like, these are guys who are ready to go. And in a receiver room that's completely turning over with Austin Mack and Ben Victor and C.J. Saunders and K.J. Hill walking out the door, you now have all four of these guys enrolling early, which is the best scenario for Ohio State.
Because, no doubt.
Again, that learning curve is so important, because outside of Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave next year, you just don't know what you're going to get out of Jameson Williams, Jalen Gill, Jay Harris, Elijah Gardner. So for this group, there is a major opportunity to come in and not just play early, but this group is sort of in a position to continue defining what it means to be a wide receiver at Ohio State, like Curtis Samuel and Terry McLaurin and Johnny Dixon did when they got there in 2014.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a unique situation, and kind of it was a critical situation, because those kids, Paris Campbell, Terry McLaurin, and Johnny Dixon, all elected to come back. And so when they did, you lost that kind of trickle effect of losing two receivers every year, to where now seven receivers that played last year are all gone. And now it's like, all right, well, who's up next? And you know, the Chris Olaves and Garrett Wilson obviously has a lot of hype, but I think this class is really the backbone for the future of this offense. Do you agree?
Yeah, no doubt. And what you're talking about is just those chunks of guys leaving. Like, it's not one or two dudes. So, like, next year, the class of 2021 wide receiver group is going to need to be probably four deep as well, because you just, at this point, you can assume that Olave will be gone after his junior year. And then, that group of unknowns, the Jalen's, the Gill and Harris and Elijah Gardner, you just don't know what happens with those types of guys, because when you're talking about players like Julian Fleming and Jackson Smith and Jigba, the opportunity for those guys to elevate quickly up the depth chart is there. And then you have to wonder what that means for the guys that haven't been able to make an impact in 3 years.
Yeah, and a natural attrition. It's going to happen. You don't know who it is, or who comes on and ends up being a contributor or player, but there's going to be natural attrition that you have to plan for sure. So what? Tell me this. So everyone on the outside looking in always looks at who recruits who does a good job. And in my experience in the industry, there are two different types of recruiters, both effective, both can be very successful. One is that recruiter that can just flat go get a kid. They can just close, go find him, build the relationship, and they can go get him. And then there's another recruiter that can recruit at a high level, that is more of a team recruiter, is well organized. And I think about in my time recruiting, like, Ryan Day was one side, I was the other side, and both, neither's better than the other. But who are the absolute closers on this Ohio State staff right now in your mind?
Well, I mean, Ryan is one, and I'm going to give you credit. I was, as far as the Ohio State media goes, and I don't always consider myself in that, but I told people 2 years ago, I'm like, Ryan Day is going to be the guy who takes over for Urban Meyer. And I told people that back in the summer of 2017 because of how much you raved about him.
Yeah.
And you could see very early that he had a knack for not just being a game day coach and a player's coach, but somebody who could really go out and get people regardless of position. And outside of Ryan right now, the results speak for themselves. And when you're talking about a guy that's been in the NFL, a guy that played at Ohio State, a guy that's born and raised in Ohio, a guy that's young and successful at his craft, it's hard to imagine that he wouldn't be a success. Ryan's done something really interesting, which is this isn't about closing really for him. This is about, he's been winning at the start, and he's really winning those relationships early. So he hasn't had to close.
Absolutely.
Which I think is interesting for him. Jeff Hafley obviously proved in a short amount of time that he was a demon on the recruiting trail, but now he's gone. So his replace him will be huge, but there are some guys, and Larry Johnson is one of the greatest position coaches of all time. Who's more successful developing players at the defensive line than anybody at their position has ever been. But yet Larry recruits in a totally different way. And that's, like he recruits his guys. So for all the money Ohio State pays Mark Fantoni and the recruiting staff at Ohio State, which has doubled and tripled and quadrupled in the last 8 years, like it's still Larry Johnson's guys. If Larry Johnson wants a two-star defensive lineman from the middle of Kansas, he's allowed to go get him no matter what. So I consider Larry Johnson a closer because I realize that he gets who he wants, and it may not always make sense to the star chasers or the people that are watching the national rankings, but his results speak for themselves, so you can't really knock it. Al Washington, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's such an excellent point because it takes a lot of respect from a head coach to give a position coach that free rein to just say, you know what, I don't really see it on film. I don't know. I don't really want this kid, but I trust you, so let's get him. It takes a lot.
Yeah, I mean, and you look back to like 2015, I mean, I'm going to take listeners way back through the recruiting annals, but 2015, Ed Warner had that kind of respect from Urban, where he was allowed to go out and get Kevin Fetter and Grant Schmidt and other guys like that, that Warner wanted, right?
Absolutely.
Like, those were his guys.
Yep.
Now, that is the risk of allowing a coach to do that because those guys didn't pan out, and it was a wasted class of offensive linemen that put the program back a few years. So that type of trust in Larry Johnson is a major piece of what Ryan Day is developing. But like, if that fails, then all of a sudden you have some major problems that have to be overcome. And that's hard to overcome when you're talking about replacing eventually a guy like Larry Johnson, because his way is so different than anyone else. You know, Tony Alford's taken a beating on the recruiting trail in this recruiting cycle because the guys that he really thought they would get, Bijan Robinson, a five-star from Arizona, Jalen Knighton, a four-star top 10 running back from Deerfield Beach, Florida, those two both silently committed to Ohio State over the summer. And then a month later, when they announced their decisions, went to Texas and Florida State.
Yeah.
So you just wonder, like, you know, people want to badmouth the coach who didn't get the job done, but he's the same coach who those kids committed to.
Absolutely.
So the coach did get the job done, but right now in recruiting, the idea of closing is so different because the rules are just completely arbitrary when it comes to what's happening on the recruiting trail around the country. And you're playing a game with kids who more than ever understand the recruiting game. They're so savvy when it comes to controlling social media, when it comes to controlling the narrative of their recruitments. Like in the last 3-4 years, we've seen a dynamic shift from kids being pawns to kids being, you know, the paupers, being the controllers.
Absolutely. And you and I talked about a story, and we won't name the kid's name, but I get asked, I'll say weekly, at least once to twice a week from people that listen in my direct messages or email, asking me, like, what does Ohio State do? Like, do they cheat? What is this school, Alabama cheats, Kirby Smart cheats, this, that, X, Y. You know, it's always Ohio State's cheating. And I always think about how strict Ohio State University's compliance and the way it operates is and how literally impossible it is to cheat. And you and I had a conversation not long ago about a specific kid that was a big time, five-star, all everything, that wanted some free gear, tried to like take it with him. And Ohio State legitimately kicked him off his visit, like went in his bags and pulled the jacket out that he was trying to take home. And it's like that stuff doesn't go on in the SEC. Those kids end up walking away with jackets and things like that. And Ohio State's doing it proper. Yeah. You know what I mean?
They walk away with jackets stuffed with money in the pockets.
Absolutely. And they do.
You know, meanwhile at Ohio State on game days, we have compliance people telling us to not take pictures of recruits, despite the fact that all the recruits want us taking pictures of them. And if we're being honest, the Ohio State coaches want us taking pictures of the recruits.
Right. And there's nothing illegal about you taking a picture of a recruit, by the way.
Right. But we're told, don't do that. Delete that picture. Meanwhile, down at Florida State and Auburn, kids are finishing up official visits and walking out of the football office, and the media is standing at the front, at the door, waiting to talk to them because they've been told be there to help promote the kid. So, I mean, it's just a weird, the difference between what happens north of the Mason-Dixon line right now versus what happens south of it. That gap is greater than it's ever been. And the scary part for programs like Ohio State, who is undoubtedly the best football program, not in the South, in America, you have to wonder at what point do they struggle to stay relevant? Because even when you look at Georgia, LSU, Alabama, take those big name schools out of the equation, look at what's happening at Tennessee or Kentucky or anywhere else on the recruiting trail when it comes to what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's a right now, because kids have to decide essentially, do I want to go to Ohio State and a place like Ohio State, or do I want to play in the SEC? Because everyone knows the world is different.
It's very different.
And it's not sour grapes to say it. It's not. And, you know, the funny thing people always say, Zach, is, well, if you know this is going on, if this is so widespread, if it's so obvious, how come nobody reports it?
Yeah, right.
Like, how do you report it? It's not, you can't, nobody's going to tell on themselves.
Well, and the reality is, I mean, if you really get into the dynamics specifically of the SEC, most of this stuff starts with conference offices, and the SEC offices in Birmingham, I mean, literally Nick Saban jogs there every day, I think. And I mean, things, when we were at Florida, things would get reported to Birmingham and they would just, you'd never hear anything else about it. It was like, what, you're like knocking on the door, like, hey, what happened to that? Like, remember we told you they cheated and no one did anything? Like, it just disappears. But you look at it, I mean, the top 10 classes in the country, Ohio State's the only one above the Mason-Dixon line. And I think that's such a credit to the program, the university, the current players that help, you know, sell the program and really the job that the assistants have done. And I've been obviously very openly and publicly critical of the compliance department. And I won't put you on that spot, on that hill to die on. But they certainly don't help Ohio State. There's certain things like you're talking about, taking pictures of recruits. Like, come on, man, there's nothing illegal about that. Get out of the way and let them take the damn pictures. It's ridiculous. But
yeah. I mean, the rules are rules. And that's kind of what we have always been taught to live by, right? Like, rules are rules. So it doesn't matter if it's a stupid rule or not. If the rule is stupid, if the rule is able to be so easily ignored, then remove the rule. But as long as it's a rule, then we should probably just continue to follow it. And Ohio State, in this recruiting cycle alone, or the 2021 recruiting cycle, the Buckeyes lost 2 weeks of recruiting in that cycle because 2021 prospects who visited before September 1st published photos of their photo shoot at the school online, which meant that they were given the photos by Ohio State, right?
Right.
Like, who the hell, how is getting a photo that was taken of you at a school illegal, it's okay to take the picture?
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Is it okay to even take the picture if they can't give it to you?
There's so many things like that make absolutely no sense. But I mean, the reality is Ohio State, the inner workings of Ohio State is so interesting to think about and really look at. I mean, they had a compliance guy that I've talked about that they ran out of town because he was trying to help the coaching staff follow the rules, but do the most possible. And you think about that, just right. That sentiment, like, shouldn't that be the absolute goal? To follow the rules, not cheat, don't break a rule, but maximize what you can get done and do. And he would try to do that, and they ran him out of town. He's at Georgia now.
Well, that's a shock.
Right.
But no, I mean, the fact is, it is a difference between administration, school administration, and athletic administration, right?
Yeah.
And the schools, there are a number of schools around the country, specifically in the South, that understand that their bread and butter is the athletic administration and work diligently to maximize it. And there are other schools around the country, Ohio State maybe being one of them, that wants to remove any thought that they are where they are because of athletics, if that makes sense. Like, it's like they want to prove to everyone, hey, we're a institution of academic excellence and higher learning, and football just happens to be something that goes on here.
Right.
Whereas in other areas, it's we are a school where you can get a degree and we play damn good football.
You're right. Like, very different.
I mean, it's totally different. And, you know, I imagine that there are a lot of frustrated people inside of the Ohio State Athletic Administration. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about how you feel when you go home and lay your head down. Like, are you doing it the right way? Do you feel good about the results? And to this point, it's not like Buckeyes fans should complain about that because they win more football than anybody in the country. So,
right.
But, you know, things are in a weird spot and there's this weird fluctuation where you wonder how long that keeps going until you're forced to make some uncomfortable decisions in order to keep up with what's going on elsewhere.
And I think the biggest question that I have that I don't see it happening right now, and I've been waiting. It kind of there was a surge. So I want to know who actually has a program in place or a plan in place to unseat Ohio State in the Midwest, just in general, because I've looked at it just the last since Urban's arrival. There was little surges, right, from Penn State and James Franklin. There was a surge. And then there with Jim Harbaugh coming in, there was somewhat of a surge. But there hasn't been a program that just absolutely, like, went on the rise and it was like, all right, this is the team that might be able to unseat Ohio State. And I'm looking at this recruiting class, last year's recruiting class, and I don't see a team even making that stride to take a shot at them. What are your feelings on the landscape of Midwest teams in recruiting right now?
I mean, if we're considering Penn State a Midwest team,
yeah,
because they're in the Big Ten, I think that they're probably in the best position. Michigan has really put together a couple good classes in a row, but you know, what happens after they get on campus is also important. But I think that those are still the two that matter the most, in my opinion. Michigan State is making a major mistake by keeping Mark D'Antonio another season.
Absolutely.
I think that it's clear that things need to be changed there, culture wise, and they made their hay in the early part of this decade, recruiting the guys that Kentucky is now taking from Ohio, right?
Absolutely. Like,
that the entire world has changed. I think there's just not really anybody else because nobody else other than Penn State and Michigan have the opportunity to offer everything that Ohio does, which is it is a good academic institution. It is elite football. It is crazy fan stadium that's historic. And, you know, the tradition and history of Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State are as good as anybody in the SEC. So I don't think that there's anyone outside that trio.
Yeah.
I think Penn State, I really believed heading into this offseason that would end up at Florida State or USC. Obviously that's not happening now. And I think that's huge for Penn State because whether or not James Franklin is a great game day coach, he is a very good recruiter and has done a really great job finding quality assistants.
Yeah.
To develop and game plan because he needs that help. But you know, outside of those guys, there is no one else. I mean,
no one.
You just can't do it. You can't do it consistently anywhere else.
No, that's for sure. That's for sure. What, the final question for you is, with this team that obviously is about to go on a playoff run, very loaded everywhere. I mean, just absolute one of probably the most complete team in the country. In my analysis, it's them and Clemson are the two best top to bottom offense, defense, kicking game, all aspects, the two best teams in the country. And I think the real question is with some of those decisions that you mentioned, though I couldn't disagree more with two of the linemen, if they even think they have a decision to make, they are sadly mistaken and their careers will not be long, but at the next level. But there's going to be natural guys that leave early, guys that shouldn't leave early, that decide to leave early. Who, whether it be a true freshman right now or an incoming guy, who do you think is a key component to next year's defense of this season that they had?
I think it's got to be Paris Johnson, just because the tackle situation, even if they are Munford, is so I don't know what the right word. It's not great.
Yeah.
You know, you have Thayer Munford, and then you have Nicholas Petit Frere. And that's really it. DeJuan Jones, despite the fact that he played this season more than anybody would have thought, and by that I mean he played in three games. Paris Johnson, when you're the number one ranked offensive tackle in the country, when you're 6'7", when you're 310 pounds, he needs to come in and be in the two deep right away. And I think he needs to compete with Nick Petitfrere for that starting job opposite Thayer Munford next year. And I think that, the offensive line to me, but that'd be where I'd go. And then for the long term of the future of the Ohio State program, it's which quarterback ends up emerging from this class as the guy. I mean, Jack Miller is signed and locked in. The Buckeyes at this point, I mean, for the world of people listening, they don't know about CJ Stroud yet when we're recording this, but
right.
if CJ Stroud ends up in this class, you know, which of those guys is able to really come in and prove that he can be the number two quarterback next season? Because I don't think Gunnar Hoke can be that guy behind Justin Fields. So Jack Miller or CJ Stroud or somebody else will have to be. And then that sets up really the next 3 years after that. So, you know, it sounds cliche, of course, to say the quarterback and the offensive line are the most important positions, but quarterback and the offensive line are the most important positions.
And the reality is Ohio State is going to have essentially one calendar year to evaluate either CJ Stroud and Jack Miller or just Jack Miller. It doesn't matter. And ride Justin Fields for another year. And then ultimately their greatest recruiting job, a la the new nature of the position, will be attacking the transfer portal. Who can they get to come in to replace Justin Fields if one of those two guys is not the answer ultimately, right? That's the nature of the position nowadays, which is bizarre and sad, but it is. That's just how the position works.
Yeah, I mean, they have a 2021 quarterback already committed, so I mean, they know who that guy after Miller or Stroud or Miller and Stroud, or if it's not Stroud, they will get somebody else in this 2020 class or in the transfer portal this offseason.
Right.
Because they absolutely have to. You just can't enter the – right now they're looking at a 2021 season with just Jack Miller and Kyle McCord, the 2021 commit.
Yeah, you can't do that.
The need is obvious, that's why CJ Stroud, you know, it's Ohio State. So people have wondered, okay, Jack Miller's been committed for 18 months and signed now. Why doesn't Ohio State just go out and get a developmental quarterback to pair with him? Like, it's Ohio State. You don't offer people who can't play at your program.
No, absolutely not.
Like, there are no such thing as pity offers or you know, let's find a guy that isn't going to threaten the other guy. Like, if you're not able to compete with the best, you can't play at Ohio State anyway. So, you know, people who want them to go out and find a spot filler are completely missing the point of what Ohio State football is and has been.
Absolutely. And that position, you just look at the playoffs right now. What do you got? Three transfer quarterbacks and the number one quarterback in all of America coming out of high school at Clemson. I mean, you're talking about, that's the nature of the success, right? Is having Justin Fields show up and here we go. Now we got a Heisman candidate. Let's go try to win it all. And the days of developmental quarterbacks at this level are I think long gone.
Yeah, and the reality is what you're seeing. Tell me the backup quarterback at any of those schools.
Yeah, not a clue. I didn't know the backup quarterback at Alabama until Tua got hurt, and then I was like, I better learn about this guy.
And so, you know, the idea that you have to have four scholarship quarterbacks is still out there. But really what you need is two or three really good ones. And even that, when you have two or three really good ones, you're almost guaranteed to lose one of them. So it's about managing the new way. But if you don't have somebody in that upper echelon, if you don't have a top five quarterback in the country, I mean, it's football from the time you're 6 years old to the time you're 36 years old. If you don't have a quarterback, you can't win.
No. Not in this day and age. I would say 10 years ago you could. Alabama did it all the time with great defense and a good run game, but that day is long gone, in my opinion.
Yeah. But then Luke Fickell figured out Blake Sims and everything changed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, one last, and this is not even a question. This is like story time. Give me your like wildest, craziest, like most bizarre recruiting story in your career off the top of your head? Something that people would be like, holy shit, is this guy serious?
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, for us, I mean, has there ever been a crazier ride than Torrence Gibson?
No, never. Like, never.
I mean, the kid was all over the place. And, you know, it's one of those things, though. I always talk about how kids need to trust their head or their heart. And, like, Torrence Gibson's heart was always with Ohio State, right?
Oh, always.
And it's not really a specific story, but when I'm talking about recruiting, like, there are so many people that have so much invested and so much interest in what these kids do that they are willing to cannibalize and destroy these kids for their own gain. And it's wild to me how few people actually tell kids the truth.
It's so true.
Because the entire system is predicated on bullshitting kids to get them to do what you need them to do for you.
Yep. That's so true.
And, I mean, I know people want like a salacious tale, but like,
no,
my entire reason for doing this job has always been that I think that kids need someone that isn't going to BS them about what they're doing. Well, and it doesn't matter if it's like the best thing for their uncle or their coach or whatever, like, what's best for you and your family has to always be the thing.
Has to be. And there's been no secret about it. I've said it before, and I'm not just saying it because you're on the show, but you do an incredible job, probably better than anyone that I worked with in your realm, your industry, developing a real relationship. Like, you know what the hell's going on. You know shit that no one else knows. And it comes back to what you just said. And I would ask them all. I'd be like, why do you talk to that Jeremy Birmingham guy? You know, just kind of trying to get him to tell me, acting like I didn't even know who you were. And they always be like, man, he's just a real dude. Like, he just keeps it real. Like, I like him. He doesn't feel like a reporter. He doesn't feel like the other guys that contact me. And it's like, yeah, just be real with a kid. That's all they want.
if every day, every minute of every day, every person who talks to these recruits and their families is trying to sell them. And that has to just be exhausting.
Exhausting.
Like at some point you just want people to understand that you have a human brain and that you're forced to like make tough human decisions. And, you know, fans, and of course I work covering college football, and I certainly don't want fans to, stop watching it or stop reading it, because that'd be bad for me. But
right,
like, people have to understand that these kids, despite their larger than life personas and all that, they're 16-year-old kids, and most of them do not have people in their lives that are like actually interested in what's best for them.
Yeah.
And that is they become pieces of a machine very early. And it's sort of messed up. So, I mean, but hey, keep following recruiting, because it is important.
It is important. And
but understand sometimes that, you know, it's a messy world, and it's hard to blame kids when they go places to get stuff. It's hard to blame kids when they get hurt by a coaching change or whatever, because a lot of times those coaches that they've talked to for a year are the one person that they felt like they could trust, or the one person that they thought they were going to get close to and know as a human being. And then that coach tells them, hey, I'm never going to leave you. And then 3 days later, he's gone.
Yeah.
So, and it's a messed up world.
And people forget that you're talking about kids, man. Like, I used to always do it, and I still do it today. Like, I look at Julian Fleming. Yeah, he looks like he's 27 years old and a 12-year NFL vet. That's what he looks right. like. But the kid's 17. Like, you go back to when you were 17, or even if you know kids that are teenagers, it's still a kid. I don't care if he looks and carries himself like a grown ass man, it's still a kid. And when he has 50 reporters, 30 coaches, you know, all these people contacting him constantly, like, that is exhausting. And so
all day, every day.
And it's why a guy like Brian Hartline is going to do so well. And I think why I did well when I recruited, and why guys like you in your venue do well, is because when your name pops up on their phone, they don't go, oh, God damn it, I don't want to take this call. They're like, oh, okay, this is my dude. Thank God it's not one of them other guys.
Yeah, we certainly, it's a tight rope and a delicate balance, but like somebody has to try to do it in a way that is in the kid's best interest for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate you coming on, Jeremy. Jeremy Birmingham from Letterman Row, and why don't you? So I've also done a few segments on sports media in general, and I've talked about specifically Ohio State sports media and how there are certain ones that I think are a complete clown show. Yours, obviously, being one that I pay attention to, I watch, I listen to, because you have actual, genuine, and organic knowledge of situations. So without trashing or saying anything negative about any other organization, I would encourage everyone that listens to support and read and follow Jeremy Birmingham and Austin Ward, because they do a better job than nearly anyone in the business. So, Jeremy, why don't you tell them where they can find you, where your YouTube channel is, your podcast, and just kind of let them know how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, you know, what we do, and we appreciate the kind words. It's a system that's been based on the idea of really working with former players and former coaches to get their perspective, because so many times in media, we're just nerds who are talking about football. And it's better to have the voices of people who've actually been there. So that's really been the goal from the beginning. And you can find, you know, the main Twitter account is just at Letterman Row, Letterman with an E, not an A at the end. And, you know, YouTube is Letterman Row, and we do a ton of videos there on recruiting, practice breakdowns, all that kind of stuff, Buck IQs with Austin and former players like Zach Boren and those guys. And then on the podcast channels, it's Talking Stuff, which is my recruiting podcast. We do basically twice a week. And, you know, anywhere you want to find us, you can find us at Berm on Twitter for me. And, you know, we really appreciate, you know, everyone giving us a chance, because despite the fact that some aren't always great, but there are a ton of Ohio State media opportunities and outlets out there. And we know that people have options, and we're glad they give us a shot.
Well, I would encourage them to give you a shot over any other, because I mean that, and it's not just because you're on the show. It's legit shit, man. People need to listen to it, read it, watch it, all of that, because if you want you want perspective on Ohio State, that's the place to go. So I appreciate you coming on, Jeremy. As always, it was a pleasure. Good catching up, and enjoy your post-signing day life for a little bit.
Thanks, man. Got to head out to Phoenix in a couple days, so we'll be right back at it.
Well, cool, man. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
Yep. See you.
All right. Well, there you have it. Jeremy Birmingham, who is, he gets my, endorsement for one of the realest perspectives and insights into the recruiting game. So I would encourage everyone to go follow him. If you're reading your recruiting news from others, I'm just flat being honest, you're probably making a mistake. Not everyone. There are other ones that have great insight, and I've had most of them on the show. And there's a handful of other ones that are decent. There's a handful that I've also talked about on the show that are just absolute garbage. No real insight. It's all clickbait nonsense. But make sure you follow Jeremy and check out his website, him and Austin Ward. They do a great job, and really excited about next week. So thank you for tuning in. As always, if you're interested in sponsorship or advertising, it's Zach, Z-A-C-H, at menacetosocietypodcast.com. Be ready for us to switch that entire platform to Menace to Sports. First of the year is our hope. I've been saying that, but it's about time we switch it over. It's about time we finish it up. So we're going to make that happen first of the year. Going to finish out this bowl season and really look forward to the playoffs and the bowls and crowning a champion. So hit us up with any feedback. And if you're on Twitter, as always, follow us, support us at Menace to Sports on all platforms, Instagram, Twitter, everything. So follow us on there, retweet us, help us out, help us grow. And thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you were entertained. Hope you took something away from it. And again, my apologies for being a day behind. Had a nightmare on my hands. But we are back, and we will be back coming live next week. Two episodes, two playoff matchups. Got to preview them. Got to talk about them. And let's find out who is going to be the national champion of the 2019-2020 college football season. Thank you for tuning in. As always, if you didn't enjoy it, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Gil Elliott. And he's got an opening. Elliott, off to the races. Can they catch him? No, they can't. Touchdown. 85 yards.
It's so easy to be average. It takes a little something to be special, Don. It takes a little something special to be a great player.
Braxton Miller's loose spin move. Miller headed for the end zone.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We're going inside of them. We're going outside of them. Inside them, outside them. And when we get them on the run once, we're going to keep them on the run. And we're not going to fire unless our secondary comes up too close. But don't forget, man, we're going to get them on the run. We're going to go, 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 go. And we aren't going to stop until we go to that goal line. Don't forget, man, today, we're going to win.
Menace to...